All right. Keeping it hot, Chick-fil-A. You can't get any better than that, right? So we are so grateful to have you this morning. And we're in a series right now that is about living is giving. And we talked last week about how God actually has hardwired us to be generous. And when we're generous, we thrive and flourish in every single way. Conversely, in every human category, we're impoverished when we're not generous. You know, our language, we kind of talk about, I think it makes it confusing, kind of betrays truly what, like, worship's about. We talk about worship. A lot of people say, you know, the worship today was really on fire, or the worship today was kind of a little off. And when they talk about that, what are they talking specifically about? They're talking about the what? The music, right? They're talking about the singing. You know, that's what they're like talking about that. Or, hey, this is the teaching portion, the preaching portion. They kind of look at those two different categories of things, music, preaching. But I would say when it comes to worship, that's not accurate. It's not really even biblical. All the elements of the gathering contribute to the worship. It's all worship, including our giving. Giving is what we do to express our devotion to God, right? And we actually don't think of it that way. We don't often think, you never hear anybody say, you know, the giving portion today of the worship, what was that like today for you? Like, nobody talks about that part of the worship time. Now, we got to be honest with you, the emergence of online giving kind of complicates things a little bit. Like, because a lot of us give, like, when we're at home and we do things beforehand, which I'm a big fan of, by the way. I think that's just a phenomenal tool that has obviously helped our church in many ways. 75% of people at RCC give online. I think that's phenomenal. But what's that like? What can it be like for you? What can that be like that's a worship experience? It should happen. If you're giving right now, today, when you leave out in the giving boxes or on the crosses, what's that experience look like? And when I think about it, another pastor friend of mine went to Uganda. And went to Uganda, he talked about being in a church there, and the thing that stood out him to the most about the church experience was the time of offering, believe it or not. The guy, the pastor had preached for a lot longer than I do, by the way. All right, some of you are going, I'm never going to Africa, okay? So, preached for a long time, for at least American standards, and then they had a song, and after the song, he talked for 15 minutes. That's right, 15 minutes, just about giving. He talked about how it connects to the gratitude and how all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there and you're giving it and saying, you know what, I'm expressing my love to God, and he connected those two worlds together. And then after 15 minutes, when it came time to give, they didn't pass around a little plates. Remember, we used to pass around plates before COVID, remember that? We didn't have giving boxes, they didn't have text to give, they didn't give online. What ended up happening was everyone in the church came forward. Everyone came up forward. They came walking down the aisle. They didn't give like, you know, sometimes we give, like we give them the giving box sometimes. We slide the money in like we're tipping somebody and we don't want anybody knowing about it. You know, that's how we tend to give. They didn't do it that way. They came marching down the aisle. Guess what? Dancing. I've seen video of this. They were dancing and waving their money in the air like they just don't care. I mean, they were just coming down the aisle to give. And so people were dancing. And think about this. Almost every one of those people walked there. They rode a bicycle there. They took public transportation to get to church that day. It was clear that these people didn't have very much to live on. And the offering, instead of being kind of like autopilot, instead of being a time of boredom, was actually a time of defiant declaration of joy, is what it was. The reason why there was such a spirit of celebration was these people were saying, you know what, you may think, the world may think, devil himself may think that because of my financial challenges, that this world has got the best of me. And all that I am is a pile of need. But that's not true about me, is what they were saying. I have come to give. I have come to bring. I have come to be a partner with God in helping somebody else. I'm one of the strong ones. I'm a giver. I'm not just a taker. And so what I learned is when giving is done right, it's a form of dancing. So I thought today to kind of, you know, I would talk a little bit about giving and dancing, and then we kind of form some kind of old school Soul Train line, and we would kind of boogie on down the aisle, and I'd watch you whip and nay nay. I don't know what that means, but you know, we would do that today. Wouldn't that sound like fun? Wouldn't that be great? No? Okay, we won't do that then. I'm sorry, all right. But what if the offering, like, When you gave, whenever you gave, whether it was online or you text or you put it in the giving box or you mailed it, whatever that is, what if it is in that time a form of dancing metaphorically for you? Like, what if that? What if there's joy a part of giving? What if that happens for you? And I'll be honest with you, it's kind of changed my perspective. I hope that we give to God, it's in a spirit of gratitude, it's a spirit of joy, and it's a spirit of trust. And for all those who give, or today as you put in your 2022 commitment cards, by the way, we pushed this last week. We had over 100 people say, I'm tithing or giving above the tithe. Can we give God the praise for that? Over 100 people at RCC did that last week. That's awesome. And when you make that commitment, if you make that commitment today, what if it could be just a spirit of joy? Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says this, but since you excel in everything, he says, you're great at everything, man. You excel in faith, you excel in speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in love. We have kindled in you. Look at this. He says, see that you also excel in the what, church? Read with me. In the grace of giving. Like, it's kind of interesting. There's two words there that kind of jump out to me. I think it's kind of shocking, to be honest with you. One is the word excel. Excel? Like, who thinks of excellence, excel, when it comes to giving? Like, who puts those two words together? Just like people who try to excel at work, or people try to excel in a hobby, or excel in school, Paul says excel in the grace of giving. You know, I think it's interesting. Paul doesn't say this, excel in the obligation to give. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say excel because there's pressure on you to give. No, he says excel in the what? Excel in the what? In the grace of giving. In other words, he's saying don't be a gritted teeth giver. Remember Clint Eastwood? Remember Clint Eastwood? He's still alive, by the way. Okay, I'm not talking like he's dead yet. He's still alive. He kind of grit his teeth, you know. Don't be like a gritty, like, go ahead, punk, and take my tithe. You know, don't do that. don't hold on, just kind of, you know, holding on, like, how much do I have to give? You know, that's not what Paul's saying here. Turn your giving into dancing. Excel at the grace of giving, because when giving is done properly, it's a wonderful exercise in spiritual formation. It really is. So I want to spend a few moments just talking about, as we church, if we're going to excel in the grace of giving, what does that look like? Number one is this: learn to live contently within the means of God's provision for your lives. Learn to live contently within the means of God's provision for their lives. See, Paul says this in the church of Philippi. He says these words, I have learned, Paul says, a secret of being content. Really? What is that? In every situation, whether well-fed, whether living in plenty or well-fed or hungry, or living in plenty or want, I can do all of this through God, through Him who gives me strength. And so I kind of want to make an example of what this looks like real quick. And here it is, all right? In our life, here's kind of how God's provision works, okay? And it kind of works like this. Sometimes there's times of feasting, and sometimes there's time of want. Sometimes things are going well, and sometimes things are not going well. And you see that. Paul is saying right here, he's saying, you know, there's times where, you know, I do have times where I am well fed, and other times when I'm hungry. There's times when I have times of plenty, and there's other times when, hey, there's times of want. And so you kind of have this ebb and flow that happens in life, right? And so he's saying, you know, that happens in my life. But here's, you know, to learn to be content, here's what I've done. Paul's saying this. He's saying, you know what? I am operating here. No matter what God brings, I'm going to have my baseline of what I use and what I live on is going to be down here. So no matter what happens, the ebbs and flow of plenty or of not plenty, I'm okay because I'm operating down here. And what happens is you have a gap between what you spend, all right, my operating budget, my life, and then what is brought in. And so even when it's low, I can be ready to give because there's a gap here. I'm ready. I can always, and that's the goal is, God, you give me whatever I need so that way I can operate here. And then when opportunity rises, I can always give. And that's the goal of why God gives us anything, is so we can be generous, so that God can pay, He'll give it to you, so He can pass it through you. And so you know what this gap is called right here? You know what this gap is called? It's called peace. It's called financial peace. And so I'm going to live down here. I'm going to operate here. But here's what we do. And a lot of times we don't want to operate down here. We want to operate differently. We want to go into debt. And what color do we use for debt? What color is that? It's the color red, all right? And so we say, you know what, God? I know you're providing this for me, but I know better. I know better. I should operate right here. This is where, God, I want to kind of fill you in right now and kind of let you know that this should actually be what I should bring in. Not this, right? I don't want to operate here. I want to operate here. And so I want more. I want more car. I want more house. I want more possessions. And so I think I know better, God. And so when we operate up here, we go into debt, all right? Now let me try to tell you real quick what debt stands for in case you don't know what debt stands for. It stands for dumb explanation for buying things. That's what debt stands for, all right? It's just dumb. But that's what we do, right? That's what we do. And it's so easy in our world to go into debt, isn't it? I don't know if you heard, but this week was a really, really big week for me personally. Because I got a letter in the mail. I got a letter and it said, congratulations, Nathan Freeman. You have been selected. Me? I have been. Me? He's talking to me. You have been selected based on your credit score. We've selected you to receive a credit line of thousands of dollars. I'm like, really, me? But they said, though, I got to act fast, all right? I need to act fast on this. So I better get on this right now. I can't believe I got one of these. I bet you didn't get one. Oh, you did? USA Today says that they send out, credit card companies send out 4 billion of these every single year, these solicitations. Think about that. 15 for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America receives one of these. Here's the reality. You hear more from these people than you do from some of your relatives, don't you? I mean, they're constantly coming after you. If you got a pulse, you got one of those letters. And here's the reality. It may be that the primary problem that keeps a lot of us from excelling at the grace of giving is the reason why is that we kind of live in a debt problem. We have a debt problem. Right? Debt makes people live in a constant sense of pressure and bondage. Proverbs says this. Look what it says right here. I want you to read it with me on the screen. 1, 2, 3. Read together. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Debt is a form of slavery. I've known people who get in their heads financially, and they kind of have this shame. I just want to say real quick to you, this is a shame-free zone. Jesus came and died on the cross to get rid of all shame, to get rid of all guilt, to get rid of all sin. There's no shame here. There's no guilt here. But I believe this. I believe you can, if you want to, you can put a stake in the ground and declare, you know what? I am done living a debt-filled life. I'm done operating like this. In fact, I'm going to cut my credit cards if I need to. I'm going to get counsel from wise spiritual, you know, and financial advisors. I want to, as Dave Ramsey says, I'm going to start living my wage. I'm going to get on a plan that leads to freedom. I'm not going to live a financial bondage anymore. I'm going to learn to live gratefully and in the provision of what God gives me. You can make that stake. You can put the stake in the ground and operate from here for the rest of your life if you want to. That's your choice. But I want to say this again. People excel in the grace of giving. They learn to live contently within the means of God's provision in their lives. Number two is this, and that is people excel in the grace of giving. They kind of view their present resources from an eternal perspective, And they get this from Jesus. Look what Jesus says right here in Matthew chapter 6, the greatest sermon ever. Do not store up for yourselves, Jesus says, treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in where? Heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. This is really profound. For where your treasure is, guess what? There your heart will be also. And what he's saying is, he's making an observation about life. Like if I put my money into something, I put my treasure into something, a house, a car, a boat, a mountain in the cabins, guess where my attention goes? When I put my money there, guess where my attention goes? It goes there. And so you have a choice. Do I put my resources in the temporary or do I put them in the eternal? You only have two categories to put your money in. You can put it in temporary, you can put it in the eternal. A couple weeks ago, I had stuff up here. I had the house and I had the golf club and I had a car and I had the red sticker. Remember the red stickers? And the red stickers meant what? The red stickers meant temporary, right? Everything was temporary. And so we put red stickers on all those things. People who excel in the grace of giving understand what Jesus is saying here. It's just a reminder, Jesus said, that all the stuff that you think about, you can't wait to have, is just a pile of rubble in the waiting, right? It's just going to be dust happening. It's waiting to happen to be dust. Jesus says this, why would you get all wrapped up and what's going to be moth food one day? Why would you do that? Like, think about this. When you go stay in a hotel for two nights, do you spend a whole bunch of money on decorating that hotel? Right? You're going to be there for two nights. Why would you not do that? It's temporary housing. When you rent a car for 2 days, do you spend a whole bunch of money to detail that car? No, it's temporary transportation. I think about the older lady who finished her shopping one time, and she walks out, she's got her bags, and she goes to her car, and inside of her car, there outside the shopping center, she sees four guys inside of her car. And all of a sudden, she gets panicked, and she puts down her stuff, and she grabs out her gun she has in her purse, and she points to the passenger side of the car, and she yells out, "Get out of the car, I've got a gun, I know how to use it." And all four of those guys, man, they booked it. They got out of there. They did not wait for a second invitation. And the woman, after calming herself down, gets her stuff, puts in the back seat, sits in the driver's seat, and all of a sudden, no matter how hard she tried, she had the hardest time trying to get her key to go inside the ignition. And then it dawned on her, her car was four or five spots away, is what it dawned on her in that moment. She loaded up her bags in her own car, then drove down to the local police station to turn herself in. The desk sergeant just heard the story, fell over laughing. He pointed down at the end of the counter where four men were reporting a carjacking at a shopping center by a grandma with a gun. No charges were filed, okay? See, she thought it was her car, but it wasn't her car. Newsflash, you think that's your car out there. Guess what? It's not your car. You think that house is your house? It's not your house. None of our stuff really belongs to us. Amen? It's all temporary. It's all moth food. What's eternal? A guy by the name of Randy Alcorn, he put it this way. I love what he said. I'm going to try to write down here if you can see this. But he draws a line to kind of emphasize what eternity is. And if you could take this line right here, and I'm going to put arrows at both ends of it, all right, right here and right here. Here's the thing. There's eternity, eternity past, eternity going in the future. That's eternity right here. And so here's something else he put. He put a little dot. You guys in the very back, you guys online probably can't even see this. There's a little dot right here, okay? There's a beginning and an end, and that dot right there represents who? Represents you. It represents me. We have a beginning and we have an end. And so the challenge is this. Don't allow the dot to trump the line. Don't allow what's temporary right here that only lasts for such a short time, your life, my life, to trump eternity. And that's just so pivotal for us to know, is that I should live for the line and not live for the dot. You have a choice to make. Are you going to live for the line or live for the dot? You know what's interesting is we look at life, people who understand this, they excel in the grace of giving. They look at their financial goals wisely and they focus on the line and not the dot. Third thing is this, and that is people excel in the grace of giving, they choose financial goals really wisely. Like they know what they're doing. In other words, they get intentional about their financial lives because this odd thing kind of happens to us. Think about it. If you're parents in the room, you know how this is. Your little cute little guy or girl comes in the world and they're all beautiful and everything. And somehow about 2 years living on this greedy planet, something happens to them. Without training, without prompting, a word comes out of this precious little baby like a volcano. And that word is the word mine. Right? And they start trembling and they start clutching things and they get angry and they get violent and they get greedy. One of our kids, I won't say which one, about 17 months old, they were doing something they weren't supposed to do. I told them to stop it. They kept doing it. I said, hey, I said, stop doing that. And they looked at me and they said, I want to. And I thought to myself, I'm like, what? You can't even talk. Like, how are you saying that? Like, I'm not sure if they knew what they were saying, but that came out of somewhere. And I thought, you know, we're going to have fun with this one. This one's going to be a lot of fun. I was thinking, you know, where did that come from? Like, who passed on the selfish gene to my innocent, precious little child? And I was trying to think which of my in-laws to blame. I think I know which one. It didn't come from my family, all right? I'm telling you that right now. I mean, here's the interesting thing about kids. Think about that. No kid has ever been taught the word mine, right? I mean, no two-year-old has ever looked at their parent and said, hey, mom and dad, how exactly do I clutch things? How do I do that? No, we have to teach them words like yours and ours and share. We never have to teach little kids the word mine. And here's what I found. People excel in the grace of giving. And by the way, so many people do here at RCC. I mean, this place is amazingly generous, and because of that, people are coming to Christ. They get very, really, real clear about their financial life in general terms, like their savings, but also their giving. They default. See, the default condition of the human heart is to hoard or to avoid sharing with others, right? Just like little children. Listen, people who do not excel in the grace of giving stay fuzzy in their finances. I've learned that people who do not excel in the grace of giving, they kind of live in a financial fog. You ask them, hey, how much did you give last year? And they go, I don't know. Well, how much are you going to give in 2022? What are you going to do? What's your goals? I don't know. How much are you saving? How much debt do you have? I don't know. People who excel in the grace of giving give things they decide to give. People who don't, people who don't excel in the grace of giving usually didn't decide to not give. They just didn't decide to give. Does that make sense? They didn't say, you know what, I'm not going to give anything. No, they just never decided to give. So they live in a financial fog. Chuck Feeney, who started in a group called Duty Free Shops, if you travel internationally, you'll see these in airports, and you don't have to pay a duty on these products. This guy made a fortune with this company he started. In fact, about three decades ago, Forbes magazine said he was in the top 20 wealthiest people on planet Earth. He had, at that time, billions of dollars in assets. And it said, actually turns out his fortune was actually larger than what people knew about because he was quietly giving his fortune away. The foundation that he started has now given over $8 billion away. Billion, not million. Billion. And the foundation's goal is to give its way out of existence. A more recent article written by Chuck Feeney from Forbes magazine or about him was entitled The Billionaire Who Is Trying to Go Broke. The billionaire who's trying to go broke. Feeney estimates that now he's worth about $2 million. He wears a $10 watch. $10 watch. He does not carry a briefcase. He walks around with plastic bags. That's his briefcase. He uses plastic bags. He says, the ultimate goal is this. I want the last check I write to bounce. I want the last check I write to bounce. Some of you are going, I'm bouncing checks right now. I'm not even dead. People excel in the grace of giving. Get really clear. I want to give away so much that when I get to the end and I write the last check, there's nothing left in the account because I want to enrich God's world and make a difference in people's lives. They get really clear about their goals. Get your head out of the fuzzy thinking about finances. There's no life and there's no effectiveness in fuzzy. There are people who spend their whole lives in a financial fog, and it leads them to a debt of shame, but in the end, it never leads to an excellence in the grace of giving. And the last one is this one right here. That is, people who excel in the grace of giving give is always associated with joy. Like when they give, man, they're just joyful about it. It makes them happy to give. You know, many people in churches associate the word like giving money with guilt. Like I go, oh man, there's a sermon about giving. Oh man. And also they feel guilty because of how they handle their money and what they don't give or how much they do give. And here's, I want you to hear me. Guilt generally does not do a lot of good in creating excellence in the grace of giving. Like it's probably not gonna be driven by guilt. So we're getting ready to worship in here in a moment. And I just want you to think about this. When it comes a time of giving for you, whatever that time looks like for you, I just want you to think of what is your attitude in that moment? Because in scripture, you always see generosity and joy married together in scripture. In scripture, you always see this celebration and giving are always tied together. Over and over, we see that in scripture. Look what happens right here in that same letter we read earlier from Paul in 2 Corinthians. He says this, "We want you to know, Church of Corinth, about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." I mean, in the midst of very severe trial, look what he says. Their overflowing joy, all right, and their extreme poverty, like what? Well, it came together and it welled up in rich generosity. You're like, really, Paul? Seriously, how's that happen? Like, we live in a world that says, well, the more you have, the happier you are. The idea of overflowing joy and extreme poverty sounds crazy, but Paul says it's reality. You see, we see this outburst of generosity in the Old Testament even. The Old Testament says this, the people rejoice at the willing response of their leaders. You know, here's the thing. Hoarding and selfishness and greed has never inspired anybody. But generosity inspires people. I want to say this too about RCC. We have an incredibly generous group of leaders here. Not just with their time, but also with their resources. So they rejoiced greatly at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. King David has this prayer that I love. He says this in that same section. He says, "Who am I, O God, that I should be able to give like this?" You ever ask yourself that question to God? God, who am I that you have blessed me with so much that I can give like this? And that's a great thing to ask God about. Why is it you give me so much when there's so much need? And the whole idea of this challenge of excelling in the rich generosity is to encourage everyone who is willing, not forcing, to experience the joy of giving. That's why I'm so unapologetic when it talks about this topic, because I want to say that tithing, I want you to know this, tithing is not a magical way to solve all your problems, and if that's your agenda, you're going against the kingdom of God. But I want to talk about this because here's the reality about God. Here it is, you ready for it? Here it is. You cannot outgive God, amen? You cannot outgive God. I know people every year who go up a percent, almost like challenging God, go, God, you came through me last year, I'm gonna see if you can do it again. Guess what, he does it again. And every year they continue to test God, because here's the reality, you cannot give him. And I want you to hear this because it's true, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I want you to hear this because it's true, give and it'll be given to you. That's just how the kingdom of God works. So what should the spirit of the room be when people are getting ready to make commitments for 2022? In fact, we're going to read the scripture right here to kind of give us an idea of what that spirit should be like. 2 Corinthians says this, "Each of you should give what you have decided to give and your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a what, church? He loves a what? A cheerful giver." That word right there is the Greek word called hilarion. Everybody say hilarion on the count of three. One, two, three. Hilarion. You know, we get the word in our language, hilarious, from this word, hilarion. And that's what God is saying. He's saying, man, you know what? When the offering ought to be a time when it's just to be hilarious. God loves it when people are freed up. God loves it when people are freed up from greed and worry and they're filled up with love and trust and they laugh and they come dancing and they say, you know what? I'm one of the rich ones. I'm one of the strong ones. I'm a giver. I'm not just a taker. So if you don't have one of those pink cards, raise your hand right now. If you don't have a pink card, raise your hand, and we're going to bring it to you. Just keep your hand up. They're looking for you right now. Keep your hand up if you don't have a pink card. Because we want to give you an opportunity right now to make that commitment in 2022 to say, you know what, God? I'm going to commit this to you. I'm going to commit tithes or above that. And I tell you what, it's amazing last week. Over 100 people said that they're going to do that. And you can join them. Maybe you're a guest and you're committing to go to another church. Your local church is somewhere else. Commit to tithe and commit to give above that as well if you choose to. For that local church, the local church is the end of the spear. You know, we live in a culture that celebrates the craziest stuff. Like last week, we celebrated people giving each other concussions during the Super Bowl. Remember that? Remember, we were all excited about that. We celebrate people possibly winning money at a game show. We celebrate, you know, when the New York Stock Exchange, all of a sudden the bell goes off, we celebrate an opportunity to get more money, don't we? So what if one time, why can't we be cheerful as we make commitments in 2022, as we give gifts to an unbelievably generous God? Why can't we be cheerful for a moment? And I want to challenge you with this. In light of all that God's unending and unceasing gifts that he has put on your life, why don't we thank him? But you know what? By giving. We give or saying, you know what? I trust you, God. You're my provider. It's a way of extending your kingdom. Think about cause of your giving, cause of your offering right now. Kids are hearing about Jesus Christ and how much he loves them. Because of your giving, adult men and women find out that Jesus is the Savior of the world and they give their life to him because you're giving. Because of your giving, people hear the good news right here in Florida, but all around the world. And here's the thing, we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of that. So I'm going to tell you what's going to happen right now. We're going to have a moment of just celebration. We're just going to praise God in just a moment. And during that time, people are making their choices. They're saying, you know what, this is what I'm going to give in 2022. People are going to give. And I want you to know something. People who just lost a job, they're going to give. A widow on a fixed income is going to give. A single mom is going to give. People who have been very devoted and very careful with their finances so they can give, they're planning on giving right now. So I want you to stand right now. I want you to stand with me. Let's stand together. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to read a scripture from David. And we're just going to praise God. I want you guys all to say it with me. And right after that, we're going to have a song of just praise and worship. And here's the thing. If you want a prayer, you can come up forward. You can go to the giving boxes and pray. But during this song, if you want to give, if you want to put a prayer request in, why don't you make that happen? We want this time to be a time of celebration, as people making commitments. So here's a scripture right here, and I want you guys to say it like you mean it, okay? I want you to say this scripture with me. Let's just give God the devotion. Let's just give him adoration. Let's give worship as we read together, all right? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Read with me. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler over all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Can we give God the praise right now? He deserves it, church. So if you need anything, won't you come right now? Let's worship the great giver of all, Lord Jesus Christ.